This is episode 144, recorded on January 24th, 2014. Packard pokes at Ken Ham, Sextile joins the Turd Reich.
Say, friend, have you ever heard someone say something like this?
Angus declares that Scotsmen do not put sugar on their porridge, to which Lachlan points out that he is a Scotsman and puts sugar on his porridge. Furious like a true Scot, Angus yells that no true Scotsman sugars his porridge.
You have committed a logical fallacy.
This is known as the no true Scotsman fallacy. You made what could be called an appeal to purity as a way to dismiss relevant criticisms or flaws of your argument.
Is this the right one for an argument? I've told you once. No, you haven't.
Yes, I have.
When? Just now.
If you want to learn more about this logical fallacy or other logical fallacies, please visit yourlogicalfallacyis.com.
Do you really like Packard Pokes At and want to promote the show? Then go to cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt. There are hundreds of items available, including hats, shirts, hoodies, and so much more. Every purchase from cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt helps support the show. Your Packard Pokes At coffee mug is waiting for you.
Do you want to stream Packard Pokes At on your iPhone or BlackBerry? Download Stitcher free today at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
You're on in 3, 2, 1.
This is Packard Pokeset, and I'm poking at your news. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokeset. I am your unmutable and I am your immutable and unmutable host, Packard Sonic. And joining us tonight from the far east coast is Crystal Says So.
Hello, everybody.
And joining us from the far reaches of the mitten of Michigan is Dave, you're damned.
Michigan gives you all a high five.
This is episode 144. Six to go, people. Six to go.
Woohoo!
Yes. So, yeah, we got a lot of them under our belts here, don't we? Well, I do anyway. We have some wonderful stories for you tonight, so let's go into our first topic for this evening.
Building a better future, science and technology.
Science. Space, the junk frontier. In orbit, we have a lot of satellites floating around. A lot of them are working, but there's a lot of it is just junk. Stuff that is the size of this little nut here and smaller. Sometimes it's just flecks of dust and flecks of paint and things like that, up to, you know, stuff that's the size of small cars out there floating around. I was reading this article from extremetech.com. They're talking about all this junk that's out there, and apparently there's an orbit that what happens is when the spaceships or whatever they've got out there is ready to retire, as it were, it's moved into this particular orbit. It's called a graveyard orbit, basically.
The low Earth orbit?
No, that's not the no. That's where most of the stuff, yeah, where most of the junk is low Earth orbit. But and there's geostationary orbit. But there's a special orbit that they put it into, so this way, when the satellites become older and inactive, it's like a graveyard is what it is. It's a junk It's like its own junkyard up in space. Well, Japan is going to send out a tether, as it were, or some kind of net, like they're going to go fishing in space, you know, and they're going to use this to capture all this little piece of junk to bigger stuff. And it's supposed to be electromagnetic, so the stuff will be drawn to it. And then what happens after that, it's supposed to, you know, I think it's supposed to ball up or something and then come back into orbit and then just burn up and be done with. I can see some problems with this. One of the concerns that came up on the page was the fact that they're worried that this tethering issue might capture working satellites. So, and moving a satellite around in orbit is not like, you know, go around and moving your car from one parking spot to the other. it's a lot more complicated than that. Plus, let's just say, and this wasn't on the article, but let's say, you know, let's say this works, and they ball it up and they grab all this junk that's supposed to come down, and it doesn't fall where they want it to fall, and it falls on somebody's head, for example. You know, and we've had some problems with debris falling down in places we didn't want it to fall. When they send junk back from outer space, you know, back to Earth, where they want it to crash, land, or hopefully burn up, it doesn't always burn up, especially when you get a big chunk of stuff all combined. A lot of it's going to burn up, but a lot of it is still going to make it through. Crystal, your thoughts?
This was a really wild story, you know, because I have seen the movie Gravity, and of course, that's the first thing I thought of.
I have, actually, they do mention that in the article. I have not seen it yet, so.
Yes. Well, you know, there's, I think people that have a kind of a scientific mind are going to have problems with that movie because, you know, it just doesn't quite match up. But,
right.
You know, I like George Clooney, and so it just was all good. Anyway, yeah, because, I mean, it's talking about NASA tracking about 20,000 pieces of the larger 5-centimeter orbital debris,
mm-hmm.
and how much that's damaged. But there's estimated to be 500,000 pieces of those marble-sized debris in orbit as well.
Yep.
And even if a single piece of that, you know, were to get to a functioning spacecraft, then it would be, well, it would be catastrophic. Let's just put it that way. And that's where they compared it to the Gravity movie. You know, scientists have been saying for years that this is going to be a problem, and it almost causes a domino sort of effect in space, to where it's going to be where we cannot even get into space anymore because of the debris.
Yeah.
So these scientists team up with a fishing company to come up with this aluminum mesh net that literally just sweeps that stuff right out. And like you said, takes it to the graveyard shift. So, I mean, this is cool. This is really a neat story.
Yes. I hope that they can do this. They said that the next one that goes out, if this works, they're saying this is, it also might just fail. This net that they're working on might just fail because it's never been tried before, so we don't know if it'll work. But if it does work, the next one's going to be 6.2 miles long. That's that's a big net,
right? And of course, the big concern is the ISS, because that is manned, and you know, they don't want it to be
tore down, right? Oh yeah,
exactly. So,
you know, since it's going to be put out from by Japan, and I know this is going to sound really bad, but since they're putting out a gigantic net out in space, you think they're going to try to catch a big space whale? No, I'm just kidding.
Me love you long time. I don't know. We need sleep, people.
I apologize. That was really mean. Dave, your thoughts?
I think this is a great idea. I don't know whether or not this is going to work. The Kessler effect is actually something that is of great concern. As Crystal said, it's essentially a domino effect. Once space debris starts hitting something, that then hits something else, which hits something else, and all of a sudden you've got a bunch of different pieces of debris that are just hitting everything, and eventually it could take everything down.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really a concern that we have, and just like the movie Gravity, which they're talking about. I have not seen the movie either, but I do understand that it's basically about that sort of concept.
Yeah,
it's kind of terrifying to think about that sort of thing happening. I think that this is a electrodynamic tether, which is electrodynamics is a branch of physics which deals with rapidly changing electric and magnetic fields.
Right.
I think it's an interesting concept. Basically, we have to wait and see if it's going to work. If it does work, then we've solved a huge problem. If it doesn't work, then at least someone's trying to do something about it, because we have to preemptively do something. That's all I got to say about that.
Yeah. I've seen a few movies. I don't remember which ones they were off the top of my head, but I remember seeing ones they were trying to get it into space, and they're, you know, they have to go through all the junk that's still out there. So they were kind of addressing this problem, you know, at least in the movies anyway. They're saying long before, you know, the movie Gravity came along, and they would like, you know, that we got to maneuver right between all the garbage that's floating around in space so we can, you know, get out into outer space, you know, before we can do any, you know, light drive jump shit, whatever they do. So
This space debris is why aliens crash land in Roswell all the time.
That's exactly it. That's why our space insurance is just at the highest premium right now, because of all the space junk. We're a floating hazard out there.
We're debris hoarders.
Yes. I thought of things that they could do with it, you know, but other than just letting it burn up. I mean, they could, you know, kind of collect it and then shoot it out into space. But I mean, this is all stuff that's come from our own planet. So I'm wondering, you know, if we were able to, you know, recycle this stuff instead of just let it burn up. I don't know if that's even possible.
You know, we're no longer just polluting our planet. We're polluting everything around our planet as well.
Yes. Yeah, we're going to be called Pollution Planet. We're not going to call it Earth anymore. We're just going to call it Pollution Planet. You know, it's really sad.
Well, it was a good eye opener because that's not really something until the movie that I had even really thought about.
Yeah.
You know, that's so cool. At least, like Dave said, they're coming up with something. They're trying to do something about it at least.
Absolutely. Absolutely. On to our next story here, and we're going to kind of stay in outer space. We're going to go a little further away from the Earth on this next story. The London Observatory, the UCL, spotted an exploding star that's 12 million light years away. Apparently, it just happened yesterday. No, it's 12 million light years away. So, you know, let's just put that into perspective. It didn't even though they just saw it just recently, it happened a long, long time ago, 12 million years approximately, you know, we're just seeing it now. So this is, it's huge. And this is going to be coming into a situation where we're going to be able to see this with binoculars, not quite with the naked eye, but you'll be able to see it. If you go out and find the Big Dipper, and if you go like just above it, the handle, or not the handle, I'm sorry, right above the tip of the bucket, as it were, and there's kind of, it's where M82 is. If you're a nighttime geek type person, I kind of am a little bit, you should be able to find this. And there'll be a link over at packardpokes@wordpress.com. Crystal, your thoughts?
Neat story. So this was discovered by people at the University of London.
Mm-hmm.
Observatory, and to think that they're 12 million light years away, and it's just now, that's fascinating to me. That just kind of goes to show we don't know everything. We're not going to know everything. You know, we should be constantly looking for this new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This was just, to me, I just couldn't even wrap my brain around it. But they say over the next 2 weeks it's supposed to be getting brighter, and you can see it with just some binoculars.
Yep.
Neat. I'm going to be looking for it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is something that's kind of cool. I mean, it's like I said, it's going to happen. It's going to be shown here in the next few weeks. So, but hopefully by the time this comes out on, you know, up on the podcast, there people will be able to get out there and see it. Dave, your thoughts?
I think this is awesome and really interesting, and it really serves as a reminder of a lot of things to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, first off, 12 million light years away is relatively close. I mean, it's
essentially
a backyard.
Essentially, yes. The end, the far end of the backyard, but it's still the backyard.
Far end of the backyard. I mean, the Milky Way is about 100,000 light years in diameter, but
right.
But essentially, it's our backyard. What really is interesting that it reminds me is that all of the essential elements that make up human beings come from exploding stars.
Absolutely true.
And so this is really, to me, the, you know, we're able to witness something that serves to remind us of where we come from, since we are made of star stuff, as Carl Sagan so elegantly put it.
Right.
The other thing that serves to remind me is that since we're going to be able to see it with basic binoculars,
mm-hmm.
within, you know, a week to a week and a half, as it's expanding, we'll be able to see it, or as the light expands, rather.
Right.
Since it actually did the expansion 12 million years ago.
Yeah.
But when Galileo first made his observations of the universe, he was looking through a telescope that was essentially just as powerful as modern binoculars.
Oh, yeah.
And so if we just look through binoculars and we look into the sky by, you know, in between Ursa Major and Ursa Minor, we'll be able to be making an observation that is similar to what Galileo was making.
You know, with Ursa Minor, you don't want to buy her drinks because I think she's still underage. She's a minor? Never mind. Anyway. apparently, the supernova that this explosion is caused by a white dwarf star basically pulling matter off of a larger neighboring star until it becomes unstable and explodes, you know, kind of like an ex-wife. I'm kidding. Give me some more money. No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. There are guys like that out there too. So, but no, this is really interesting. The fact that, you know, this has been more than theorized. I think this has also actually been observed, where they're observed stars pulling matter off of largest nearby stars, and then it just kind of encrusts around it, and then that it gets builds up all that pressure, and then all this debris sitting on top of there, and then just finally says, okay, fuck it, I'm done. I'm basically blow my stack, and it basically causes the whole star to explode. It doesn't just happen overnight, of course. It takes millions and millions and billions of years before a star can actually explode like this.
Right. I mean, this was a white dwarf star that was pulling matter off of larger neighboring stars.
Right.
And it became unstable and exploded.
Right. Now, what most people don't understand or don't know is that when they say, well, why is, if it's so much smaller, then why is it being able to pull debris from other stars, nearby stars, onto it? A white dwarf star is extremely dense. I mean, it's even denser than Ken Ham. a teaspoon full of it, just a teaspoon, would weigh as much as 10,000 elephants. And I'm talking big fucking elephants, not the, you know, not like tiny pachyderms, but 10,000 elephants sitting on a spoon. I mean, just a teaspoon of this stuff is extremely dense. I couldn't even imagine what, if we could get a hold of some of this stuff, I mean, if it all, it was even possible, what we could do with this kind of material. I mean, it's just so super dense.
I wish that we could study the neutrinos that were coming off of it, but it appears that it may be too far away to do that.
Yeah.
Right.
It's going to be a while before that, before the neutrinos actually probably reach us, though. So, or even if this equipment that we have sensors that are even able to detect it.
Right.
Anyway, all right, let's get on to our next topic for this evening.
It's the Onion Radio News.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
This next story you're going to love. It's a little interesting that we're going to talk about something that everybody goes on. Everybody shares this one thing, and it's toilets. And I'm talking from the first caveman that discovered a toilet to the modern ones. But we're going to talk a little bit more historical toilets here. We're going to talk about a toilet like no other. It was Hitler's toilet. Apparently, it was discovered in a car garage. Apparently, this toilet had been pulled off of a luxury yacht that had been found in full working order. And I don't know why it was found in somebody's garage. It says it was situated in a room, apparently, adjacent to Hitler's elaborate throne room, a 433-foot-long boat. The Avicello Grilli was the largest yacht in existence at the time. It is also and was home to the exact same toilet, which sits now in this car garage. Garage repairs cars here. This place is called Worker at Greg's Auto Repair at Florence in New Jersey, of all places. Says he still uses the toilet every day, which is located in a small plywood room. I was kind of a little dubious over this when I read this story, but there is apparently some supporting evidence that this might actually have been his. And it looks like it's actually still good working order. I mean, for, you know, a toilet anyway. But on this page there, I don't know why, they decided to throw a picture up of Hitler, and I have to keep hiding the picture of him because he's staring a hole right through me. Hitler was kind of creepy looking anyway. But but this is a weird find. But one of the things that said, don't think they're going to get any DNA off it. It's probably long gone by now, but I don't know. I don't know if they can catch DNA off something like this that's that old. Crystal, your thoughts?
Well, you know, there was a whole lot of information on this story. I think it was kind of funny that they're still using this toilet. and, you know, the guy's thinking about putting it up for sale to see if he can get some money. And, you know, a lot of Hitler's stuff have gone for a lot of money. He might get a lot of cash out of this, but I kind of doubt it. I don't know how they can make it authentic. I don't know how they can actually determine that that is Hitler's or not, because there's just German writing on the bottom of the porcelain, you know.
There was some other discussions on there on one of this other page, which I forgot to pull up, but apparently it was apparently on this yacht that was supposedly known Hitler to have actually owned, but how it ended up in New Jersey of all places. I mean, I'm just glad Chris Christie didn't get a hold of it. It would have broke. Do you have anything else you want to add to that, Crystal?
Well, you never know what you're going to find in a scrapyard, huh?
This is true. This is true.
Oh, that's it, babe.
Okay, Dave, your thoughts.
Apparently, Hitler's toilet was flushed down the annals of history and washed up on the Jersey Shore. you know, Hitler was a vegetarian, so I assume he was fairly regular. and probably used it often. And it was on a ship, and I learned through reading this that Hitler suffered from seasickness, so he's used it coming out of both ends, I assume.
Well, yeah. I wouldn't doubt it.
I don't know where you'll ever use the information that Hitler suffered from seasickness besides this.
Right.
Basically, it's the commode that belonged to the most evil man in modern history.
His shits must have really stunk. You know,
I imagine he probably shat pure evil. I don't have very much to say about this, except for who the hell wants to buy it?
Right.
I mean, it's for sale. That's great. Whoever is going to buy this is, I don't know why you would want to share a toilet with Hitler.
Neither do I. That would just be flushing money down the toilet.
Yes.
Quite literally, this case.
Yes. I mean, it just so that you can say it's Mein Crapper.
Mein Crapper. Mein Crapper!
Yeah, I have no idea who's going to buy this, but I'm sure that someone will want it. Beats me who, though.
Yeah. Darkened Dog in the chat room said Hitler was not a vegetarian. He was put on a restrictive diet due to his health.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's interesting. I always heard that from a lot of places and a lot of sources, he was a vegetarian. But that would be interesting to find out for sure if he was or was not. But
there's actually a fallacy that's known as the Hitler vegetarian fallacy, which is because Hitler is a vegetarian does not mean that vegetarianism caused him to do what he did.
Right.
So whether or not he was an actual vegetarian, it's permeated our culture enough for that to exist.
Hmm, that's interesting. It just still, this whole toilet, it just makes me want to flush the whole story. But
yeah. That's about what I felt like when I was reading it. Why? Why? Yeah, buddy, I'll give you $20 for that.
I'd give you $20. I don't know. If you go to get a modern toilet, I mean, this is, you know, it's still... looks like it's still in fairly decent condition. You know, you just put a toilet tank on there if you can find one for that, for one of that age, as it were. I mean, you might get it to work. I don't know. Maybe just put a pipe in there. Anyway, let's get on to our next story here. In the future, we're going to have a variety of different things to do. And, of course, sex is being one of them. And when it comes...
Hallelujah.
The thing is with sex and the future is they're both coming towards us. You know, we're moving to the future and sex is coming towards us all the time, sort of. I mean, if you're lucky enough. But if you can't, you can go and get yourself some specialized sex toys. I'm not talking like the old-fashioned just dildo or whatever. Over at the AVN Adult Entertainment Expo in Las Vegas, they had some weird new additions you could find this year. There's a toy that's made usually for men, sometimes for women too. They make it for both genders. They're called real dolls. But these real dolls look even more real than they ever have in the past. this is not the, you know, the blow up or the expression on their face where they're like the surprise expression all the time. They look like real human beings. Now the thing is, when they've got these, you have to see this picture. If you ever go to this, you go to the store, you buy a toy doll. It's in a plastic bubble or a plastic wrap type thing, a plastic thing there. That's how they've got these real dolls for this. But these things are not real cheap. You know, you can't go and spend a couple hundred bucks on these things. Just for a cheap one would cost you about $300 or $400. This real doll is over $8,000, $8,500. Now, for a little bit more, you can have it look like anybody you want to. If you have the cash and you're lonely enough, there are some people out there who get these things and they set it down, they talk to it, they have breakfast with it, they shower with it, they do all kinds of things you would do with anybody else. The only problem is there's no conversation coming back. You can sit there and yak at it all day. You might as well talk to the fucking toaster. You know, you're going to have the same conversation. Nothing's going to happen. The toaster doesn't quite look as sexy, but hey, you put the right clothes in on it, maybe you can make that to look a little bit sexier. On this page also, they have a variety of other sex toys that I've seen some of them before. One's called a Brony Plug, and that's, yes, if you can kind of guess what that means, it goes right in the butt and it has a little tail on it. And they have something called Hydromax. That's for men that are afraid that their dicks are too small and supposed to pump it up. And there's some stuff here. I could try to sit here and explain it to you, but I have no idea how I would do it properly. Crystal, your thoughts?
That's what I was just typing to Bees in the chat room. I said, you just need to see this article, because trying to describe these sex toys is just almost hard to imagine. The one I think that stood out the most beside those $8,500 dolls were modeled after porn stars, actual porn stars. And yep. You know, everything's supposed to be all correct and in the right place and whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, I was thinking if I got a male version of that, though, he wouldn't talk back. It might not be a bad idea.
You know why?
If I can only get him to get up and clean the house, you know, it'd be all right.
Yeah. You know, that's why there's an old joke that goes, you know, why women don't marry their vibrators, because they can't mow the lawn.
Well, that's true, but it can make you where you don't give a shit if the grass is knee high.
That's true.
But the one toy, I can't think of the name of it, the brand name of it, the big bouncy balls that have the handle that you sit on and you bounce around.
Yeah,
and then there's an attached
penis
dildo. You know, that.
That's actually built into it.
Ouch, 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 ouch. I can't imagine.
Yeah, and there's one of them that shows a couple of them. They come in a couple of colors. There's pink and blue. And one has just a penis on it, and the other one has a butt plug. So you get it from both ends.
Yeah, that was new to me. I didn't know that they were like My Little Pony freaks that were male. I had no idea about that.
I was actually aware of that. That's the sad thing. I actually was aware of it. I never tried it, but I was aware of it. I've seen pictures. And now they've got porn trading cards as well. I mean, that's so weird. Why would anybody's like, which one Pokemon you got? Oh, mine? Mine don't have any clothes, and they don't shoot fire, but they sure put the fire in me. Yeah.
Yeah, kids, you know your mama's going to collect those right back from you. You're not going to have those.
That's right. Dave, your thoughts?
Yeah, it was actually Joe who made me aware of bronies. So, I blame him for that. The sex dolls reminded me of the movie Lars and the Real Girl. Have you guys seen that?
The what?
Lars and the Real Girl?
No, I have not heard of that.
It is a movie starring Ryan Gosling where he buys one of these dolls and essentially thinks that it's alive, and he does everything with it.
Really?
That's... It's It's a good movie. Check it out. That's my plug for. I don't know why I'm doing it.
Isn't that like that movie where the mannequin comes? The movie Mannequin. Isn't that the same thing?
Oh, I love that movie.
No, not quite the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So all this stuff is really interesting. There's a lube fountain.
Yeah.
In case you want a fountain that produces lube for easy access, this thing's huge.
Yeah.
Amount of lube that it produces, I have to imagine, can only... I mean, that's a group sex thing.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's like a chocolate fountain, only without the extra tears, and it just kind of flows over the top. I mean, looks really pretty.
I'm sure that there's a lot of tears in it.
Bacteria in it, more like it. Ugh.
Bacteria, exactly. Porn star trading cards. Why did that not exist before?
Yeah, well, I think if I remember correctly, there are trading card stores out there. They have now I remember it. We were talking about this at the meeting. It's called Olivia, and there are trading cards, but they're Olivia trading cards. I could be wrong on the name, but I think I'm correct. But it wasn't porn stars. It was artwork, erotic artwork, and they were in trading card form.
Right. There's also My Private Pillow, which is a pillow that you can hide your sex toys in.
Yes.
All I can think is, who wants to sleep with their face on their vibrator?
It looks like there's a pillow inside, and then it's kind of like there's a little compartment you can stick stuff in there. I would just be afraid, you know, have somebody come over, like, you know, let's say you have your... a little older and you have grandchildren, they want to go, oh, I'm going to lay in mommy's bed or grandpa's bed or whatever, and they hit their head back. Oh, what's this big thing back here?
Yeah, exactly. Your pillow starts vibrating while you're trying to sleep.
Knocks your teeth out.
So there's a weed-smoking genitalia pipe.
Yep.
That's delightful.
Yep.
it's called the cock pipe, by the way.
Where's the clit pipe?
Right. And then there's an app that welcomes your creepy drawings.
Yeah, it's called Adult Draw. And it's free. Yes, I downloaded Packer, this. I haven't Packer, tried it, but I've got it.
Packer downloaded it at the meeting.
I did. I haven't installed it. I haven't tried it. But it's made for the iPhone and the iPad, apparently.
Okay, so all of this reminded me of just days before this, I had looked up or not looked up, I had stumbled upon this Ultimate G Vibrator, which is a gynecologist-designed sex toy that promises, quote-unquote, third-level orgasms.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm not certain what that is.
It looked terrifying. The object, it looked terrifying.
It looks absolutely terrifying.
It does.
It really does. But on their website, they had some lovely reviews. And they seem to have, since we had our meeting, they seem to have deleted at least one of them. But I want to read one of these because it's amazing.
Okay.
5 stars, very intriguing shape, took me to a new world of joy.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
It says, it's really a new category of joy, hard to describe the new level my body is capable of. I had no idea my body could do that. All I can say is buy one.
I remember reading those reviews on that one particular one. It was like, oh my God. I mean, the way it's designed, well, this one particular sex toy that, you know, it's not directly related to this, but it's a new sex toy. And it may have been featured at this place. I don't know.
It's gynecologist design. It reaches for the G spot, and then it has a separate arm that they're actually, it's detachable, and then you can put new arms on. But the second arm, tickles the clit apparently at the same time as the G spot's being tickled on the other side.
Yep.
Very, very interesting. It's
makes me almost wish I was a woman so I could try it out.
I would be glad for them to send me one. I would give it a review, you know.
Yeah. It has LED colored controls, different choices for clitoral arms, 6 patterns and 3 speeds. Warms to the body with the softest touch.
Yes. I'm in love, Dave. Keep talking like that. I'm getting
This is me serenading you.
I know. It's turning me on.
Woo. Turning me on.
What I have to say is, you know, sex is something that's been going on forever and will continue to go on forever. And, you know, that I suppose these products will continue to advance as technology advances.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's the thing is that a lot of people, you know, they shy away from this stuff because the simple fact is, you know, they think sex is dirty. You know, sex is not dirty. It's natural. You know, it's part of our natural world. We all will experience it or have experienced it or wish we're an experience or wish we were experiencing it at some point in our lives.
Yes, because brony butt plugs are completely part of our natural world.
Absolutely.
I do hope you ordered the pink one.
Mine's blue. No,
My Little Pony.
I always wonder if bronies get involved in that. I think that's for a whole different play where they have the brony plug. It's not actually so much for bronies, I think. Maybe it is. I don't know.
It says bronies in the article.
It does say bronies, but I mean, I always thought, you know, it's just, I always pictured, you know, someone who is a different quite activity. I mean, may call themselves bronies, but I mean, I think they mean a different colloquialism of bronies other than the people who just like My Little Pony stuff, you know.
No, this is clearly a My Little Pony butt plug.
Yes, that's for sure it is. But I'm just saying that I think they're using the word for two different meanings. You know, like there are a few words that have the same sounding, the same wording, spelling, but they mean two different words. Whatever. Oh, my daughter wants a quick get in here.
This is most likely for those brony cloppers out there.
Who's got $8,500?
I don't have $8,500. If I did, I would be in Jamaica right now.
If we did, we'd all have computers that would quit crashing every Friday night.
Yes, 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 we would. But anyway, speaking of computers and things like that, we need to tell you how to get in contact with us on the computer, and we have our phone number right here below. And the number is 662-709-PPAP or 662-709-7727. Leave us a voicemail. Please give us a call. Tell us what you like, what you want us to hear, what you have a comment on the stories tonight, whatever you want to say, you know. And we also have email and other things like that. So if you want to get in contact with us, we're going to tell you how you do that right now. And we'll be back in a moment to ruin the rest of the show.
Would you like to contact us? Your host, Packard Sonic, and his very honored and crazy co-host, with occasional guest hosts, enjoy your comments or suggestions. You can reach us 28 hours a day, 8 days a week, on A Can on a String, Smoke Signals, Star Trek Communicator. Those may not work, but you can contact us on Twitter as PackardPokesAt, and by email at PackardPokesAt@gmail.com. You can also listen and join in the conversation live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time on faunlive.tv/PackardPokesAt. You can find past shows on iTunes, YouTube, Mixler Radio, and Stitcher Radio. Help us out by rating, commenting, subscribing, retweeting, and reposting the show wherever you can. Click the like button on Facebook/PackardPokesAt to join in the conversation. Would you like to help keep the show running and pick up some awesome Packard Pokesat merchandise? Visit cafepress.com/PackardPokesat today and buy hats, shirts, or one of over 300 other items that are also available. Visit PackardPokesat.wordpress.com for links to the news articles covered tonight and more information on this or other episodes. We hope you enjoy the show. Thanks for listening and your support.
And thank you, Joe. Even though he's not here tonight, he still manages to get us, you know, tell us how to contact us and everything. And, of course, like I said before, the number is 662-709-PPAP or 662-709-7727. All right, let's get on to our next topic for this evening. Over in Israel, they were doing some digging, and they're finding other pieces of artifacts all over, you know, and when they're digging things out, so they can, you know, examine it, try to get a better idea of the culture. the way, you know, humans used to live, you know, 5,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, whatever. And apparently they found some extremely racy ancient sexuality depictions that are 4,000 years old. And a lot of it are using the same positions in this artwork as it is that a lot of us still do today. There's this one particular one where the only way I can describe it is the woman's bending over, guy's got his hand on her hair, pulling her hair, and doing the
doggy style,
vertical stand, doggy style, basically, yes. And the thing is with this erotic art, it wasn't just for the pornographers of the time. This was the kind of pop art that was available everywhere. I don't know if it was available everywhere, but there was apparently a lot of it. And a lot of it was very detailed. I mean, you could see the genitalia, the way the breasts are, all kinds of things on this thing. What's really interesting is that the fact is that people think that, you know, a lot, especially religious people, think that, you know, because they think sex is bad and dirty and all this shit. And, of course, if without sex, none of us would be here. And they were depicting it and recording different things for over 4,000 years. So if you think you're the first to ever try a certain position or whatever, think again. Crystal, your thoughts.
Wasn't this a fascinating little story? You know, it says that it predates India's Kama Sutra by over 1,500 years.
Yes.
People like sex. They like it down and dirty, and it's obvious in these plaques. They said these plaques were mass-produced. They were in homes. They were in temples, graves. And apparently, what's interesting is part of that culture, these plates were where even children could see them. They were displayed, you know. So I found that kind of fascinating. I would love to get my hands on a couple of them, actually. But, you know, it was very detailed and very erotic. And it's just like the article said, it was kind of like a Playboy made out of clay, or early Playboy. So, the one that she's sitting there bending over and she's drinking beer from a straw as he's doing her from behind.
Right.
And I'm like, hey, I've never thought of that.
Apparently, the drinking of the beer is supposed to represent oral sex. I mean, maybe they couldn't figure out how to draw the head in between the legs, I guess.
Yes, because the man sipping the wine from the cup is supposed to mean oral sex on his part too. And that was supposed to be like the little joke, I guess, between the two. And also it's talking about anal sex was a popular form of contraception because, of course, prophylactics had not been invented yet.
Right.
So that was depicted on the plaques as well.
Yes, absolutely. And like you said, that, you know, these are in full view of everybody, you know, men, women, children, and it's like, oh, well, that's what we do when we get old. We go around and we do this kind of stuff. You know, they didn't, like today, you know, if someone gets a hold of someone's nudie magazine or whatever, it's like, oh my God, we got to throw him in jail and charge him with being a predator or whatever, you know, a sex offender in the rest of his life because somebody got a hold of a nudie magazine that happened to be in his house. You know, this stuff was all over the place. I don't think they had the same kind of thinking that, you know, they didn't look at, like, sex as a dirty thing. It was just, for them, it was just, hey, this is normal. This is natural. You know, they didn't try to hide it from everybody. They just tried to, you know, I can't say they didn't have sex with children because, you know, look at Muhammad. He married an 8-year-old for criminy's sakes. But this stuff goes way back.
Right. So apparently it wasn't seen as something, like you said, dirty or foul or anything to be ashamed of. It was something beautiful to them.
Right. Exactly. Dave, your thoughts?
I noticed that this guy is a hair puller.
Yes.
I find it really interesting that this comes from the Babylonians and that area of the Middle East, because as this article mentions, as soon as the Abrahamic faiths really took over, the sexuality was taken out. At least female nudity was taken out of the artwork quite a lot. And to see that region of the world was so open sexually prior to this new movement. I mean, this is, we're talking about the Epic of Gilgamesh and all of that prior to Christianity, which was very full of sex and all of that.
Oh, yes.
It's just interesting to see how something can go from being so sexually open to being so sexually repressed. And if you look at the Middle East today and see how extremely sexually repressed it is, it's just a stark comparison to make.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Good point. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Castle and the chairman said they're cool, but I don't care how much they, what ancient cultures have done, because children were painted in that nude often, but he didn't think it make it acceptable. No, I never said that was, it's, by our standards, it's not acceptable now, because, you know, we come from a Puritan society. I mean, the Puritans came over here, and their whole culture was just to, you know, try to put as many rules as they could. You know, they basically had a rule for the way you took a piss. You know, the Muslims, for example, they have 10,000 fucking rules just to go to the bathroom. I mean, you have to stand a certain way. You have to face a certain way. You can only wipe so many times. I mean, it's ridiculous. Religion has invaded all this shit and made it like it's a bad thing. But, you know, overall, this is a natural thing. I'm not saying that we should go out and start having sex with 12-year-olds. That's not what I'm saying. Because we have standards that have evolved as we have evolved. Their standards were a little different then. I'm not saying what they were, their standards were right. I'm just saying that they were different.
Well,
no, go ahead, Dave.
No, I mean, the lifespan was a lot different back then as well.
Absolutely true. That's absolutely true.
So, I mean, what's, you know, a 12 or 13-year-old back then was at the age of maturity and able to reproduce, and
right.
Your life expectancy was only 30 years.
If that.
That's half your life right there.
Right.
So, I mean, that's something to consider. As far as the Christians did have and do have a lot of nude paintings, although there's currently a movement where a lot of these nude paintings are having clothing added to them. I mean, people
what?
Are ruining this artwork, and they're adding clothes.
Oh, good fucking grief.
Right. So, I mean, cultures change and they vary, and, you know, they go from one extreme to another quite often.
Yeah, it's just... No, but you're right about the lifespan, because people back then were not living as long. I mean, now we got people living up past their hundreds. If you took somebody that was living past 100 back then, they would be thought of as a deity because they lived that long. Now, you know, for us, that's like, you know, 80, 90, 100, right in that ballpark.
Oh, come on. Noah lived like 600 years.
Oh, yeah. Well, 900 years.
He 900. Yeah, he was like 600 years old when he started building the ark.
And he was just a youngin'.
And if the Earth was 6,000 years old and the date of Noah's Ark was correct according to those standards, then these statues actually survived the flood. How about that?
God couldn't wipe out the porn.
That's right.
Not so all powerful now, are you, God? You can't wash away a little porn, hmm? But no, I was saying is that because the life expectancy, what you alluded to, was so low. I mean, 20s and 30s, if you lived to be a 30, you were considered to be an old man. But, you know, at age 12, 13, 14 years old, that was acceptable because, you know, 15, that's at least half your life. And that's
right.
Why, like, kids still today start peaking and maturing at that age for both boys and girls. I mean, physically, not so much mentally because, you know, kids,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and then another thing that I think of when you speak of life expectancy and all that is that, I mean, if we're keeping these old standards of religions and stuff that are unable to change in their ideas, I mean, Vatican City currently has a consent for sex age of 12 years old.
Well, look at all the priests over there. They're I mean, happy, and they got things underneath their robes. And then it's not just talking their underwear either.
I did not know that.
What's that, Crystal?
About the 12 years old.
Oh, yeah. Currently, yeah. The age of consent in Vatican City is 12 years old. It's the lowest in the world.
Yeah. Wow.
Amazing.
That's it's ridiculous. In this era, 12 years old is a little out of line.
Well, absolutely. But, I mean, that's what happens when you hold on to old ideas and are unable to change.
Exactly. It's ridiculous. But anyway, speaking of ridiculous, Pamela Raintree, great name. I love the name. She's a transgender woman, and she was at a council meeting, and there's this bill that they were putting forward. This bill was to protect people who were transgendered or gay or whatever, so they could get affordable housing, no job discrimination, whatever, within the city limits of this particular city. And most of the board was with pushing this bill forward, except for one guy. And he said that, no, because of his Christian values, that the transgender community, because it goes against his religion. You know, the transgender people should not have that right because it's against his religion. And she went up there, and she said at the next bill, next voter, I guess it was a couple votes that they went on this thing here. And she went up to him and says, she brought a stone with her to the council meeting, and she stated, Leviticus 20:13 states, if a man lieth also with mankind as he lieth with a woman, they shall be surely be put to death, put him to death. I brought the first stone, Mr. Webb, in case that your Bible isn't just a smokescreen for personal prejudices. She took the stone, said, here, fucking stone me. If you think this Bible is true, there it is. Kill me. He said, I withdraw. I withdraw my argument, and the bill went through. Just it goes to show that a lot of these people that they say that they believe in their Bible is not as what they say it is. They're not a half or a tenth of what they actually believe. They're just using the Bible or in their religion as a bully pulpit to push their prejudices. And that's all the fucking Bible is. It's a book of prejudice. Crystal, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I think this lady is very brave, and I always support people that stand up for what they believe in. She did not put down the Bible. She said, don't use your Bible as a smokescreen for your own prejudice.
Right.
And I think, you know, just the visual, actually bringing the stone in is kind of, that made him look like an idiot. This is in Shreveport, Louisiana. This is not a place where I think that they have a whole lot of this, but she's been a longstanding LGBT spokesperson, gets these bills passed and stuff. And you know, Ron Webb kind of was made to look like a butt in this issue.
Absolutely. He was
And for him, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, just for him to, you know, be the sole dissenting vote in this.
Right.
And everybody else supporting it. But yeah, ultimately, she got what she came there to get, and that was a passage of that bill. So I can just say that I'm proud for her.
Right. I have only one worry about this whole thing, that somebody might take her up on that offer. Not that, you know, I'm not seeking this, you know, just being a shock on this, because it has happened, because there are people out there that, you know, they're lured into situations, and they're gay men or gay women, and then they're killed by these so-called loving Christian straight people because they're afraid of the fact is that somebody doesn't love an opposite gender and you know, doesn't like the same kind of thing that they do, basically. You know, they say, hey, you know, you're a guy, you should like women. You're a girl, you should love guys, you know, like guys, whatever, you know, not another girl, not another guy, you know, so that makes you different, and different is scary, and so we have to destroy or kill whatever we find different or scary. Dave, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that you do have a valid point that people might take her up on that, although I think that the vast majority of rational people won't.
Right.
I mean, you can look at like Matthew Shepard, who was murdered for being a homosexual, and his murder is celebrated by people like the Westboro Baptist Church. Right. If you go to their website, he's actually right on the front page.
Yeah.
And they, I mean, that was years ago, and they still celebrate his murder. So there's that. I think that this woman is very brave. I think that she's bringing to light an issue that a lot of people aren't aware of. A lot of people who a lot of Christians aren't very familiar with their own holy book.
Right.
And I don't think that many of them are aware that the Bible actually commands that if someone is a homosexual, they be stoned to death.
Right.
Right.
I think making people aware of that it's a good thing.
Yes.
It also made me think of, you know, people often say that Jesus never said anything about homosexuality, mm-hmm. and that he never said a word about it. Even Stephen Colbert said, you know, I tried to look up what Jesus had said about homosexuality, and I couldn't find anything.
Right.
However, you can find in Matthew 19:12, Jesus does speak of eunuchs, and he says, for there are eunuchs who are born that way, which, by the way, sounds a lot like a Lady Gaga song.
I was a eunuch that way.
Yeah, I think it's a cover. But it says, for there are eunuchs who are born that way, and there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by others. And there are those who choose to live like eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven.
Right.
The one who can accept this should accept it.
Right.
And that's an actual, you know, in the Bible, that's something that Jesus said. Now, it might not directly pertain to homosexuality, although informally, a eunuch has been known throughout history as someone who's an unmasculine male.
Right. Someone, probably either a gay man or a transgendered person.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, I think that's an interesting thing. I applaud her courage in doing this. I'm glad that he decided to retract everything that he had said after she did this.
Right.
I think it's great that she actually brought a physical stone with her.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think that really supported her case. Because she could have just said, why don't you throw a stone at me? He go, yeah, if I had a stone, I'd probably do it. You know, he could have done that. In some case, you know, if they don't have it physically in front of them, they go, oh, yeah, whatever. But you bring the stone with you, and it's a good sized stone, and you say, here, do it.
Absolutely. Put your money where your mouth is.
Put your money where your mouth is, exactly. There's a street preacher that comes around out here, and in the Bible it says you're supposed to put people who don't believe in God to death. Maybe I'll take a video camera and somebody out there and videotape and say, here, if you believe your Bible so much, I'll find the exact quote and say, here, kill me. Do it. This is what your Bible says. If you're going to believe all this other crap, you better believe this too and see what he does. If he backs down, then, you know, hopefully he'll stay away and go away for a while. But if he attacks me, then I've got video. YouTube, motherfuckers! So, anyway, you know, I applaud this woman's stance and what she did. This is amazing. I mean, would I have really been able to do this if I was in her place? I don't know. But I, like I said, I so fucking applaud her stamina and her fortitude to do this, you know, in a city council.
I do too. Do you guys not think that, like, out of the whole LGBT kind of community, that the transgendered male to female is probably the most discriminated against?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that makes it even harder. I think they're more looked down upon.
Right.
You know, some of these guys still have male traits. They're still maybe tall or broad or whatever. And people do look at that as a freak, an abnormality. And for her to be up there like that is just, yeah, so yeah. Brave. Could I have done it? No, I don't think I could ever have done that.
Yeah, it's just, I'm very impressed with her, but still, wow. It just, I'm almost without words on how impressive this woman did. Fisher, and I'm not talking the guy that has, you know, a fishing net and going out to grab fish so he can feed his family. I'm talking about Brian fucking Fisher. He says the most outrageous things, and he thinks that gay people can stop being gay just by praying about it, or transgender people who can think they can just pray the transgender away and it's all in their minds or something. But actually, you know what? We got an audio clip here in a video. We're going to play that right now.
People that are pushing this transgender bathroom bill, they're the ones that are anti-science. They're the ones that have closed their mind to biology, have closed their minds to anatomy, have closed their eyes to everything we know about genetics. Who are the people that are operating in the realm of science? Well, it's us. because we know that people are either male or female by DNA, assigned to them at the moment of conception by a creator God who doesn't make those kind of mistakes. He's not out there playing cruel jokes on people. So if people have male DNA, they have male anatomy, and they think they're trapped inside a female body, that is not God's fault. There is something wrong with their own thinking, and their thinking needs to be corrected. They need to affirm the truth about themselves. God made me a male. I am a male in every single solitary cell of my body. And then you resist the lies that come into your mind, because that's just coming from Satan, who is the father of lies. No matter where that lie comes to you, ultimately behind it is Satan. He might have planted it in somebody else's mind, and they repeat it to you. But somebody who's struggling with gender confusion, this is what one of the things that they must do as a part of getting better is simply every time that thought of sexual confusion comes into their mind, to resist it in the name of Jesus. Remember, we saw that yesterday in the story in Philippi, that demons have to submit to a command that is uttered in the name of Jesus. So if you declare to this lie, I rebuke this lie in Jesus' name, I declare that I am a male in every single cell of my body, that I have been created by God to be a male, I choose maleness as my identity, and I reject this lie about my sexual identity in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, trust me, if an individual will do that, every time that lie presents itself to them, it will, in time, they will be free of their gender confusion. But if we embrace the truth that we find in the Scriptures, you are either male or female, DNA doesn't lie, anatomy doesn't lie, and you take authority over any lie that comes into your mind, then you eventually will be thinking straight about your sexual identity. So we're the ones that are operating in the realm of science here.
This guy is amazing. He's an amazing piece of shit. My daughter wants a quick chime in here real quick.
Joke's on you, Fisher. You're actually a woman.
The video was, it's about 2 minutes long. I have notes. Okay, Fisher, first of all, he claims it operates in the realm of science. I'd like to know what papers he's published, because he doesn't know science if it came up and bit him in the ass, basically. Also, he claims that there are two genders. Two. There are two genders. They're just male and female. Just two genders. Because that's what their Bible says. And, of course, he operates in the realm of science, so he must be right. Wrong. There's actually four. There's several, in fact. Four, basically. Male, female, intersexed, which is hermaphrodite, transgendered, or transsexed. But he is correct on one point. He made one thing he said that was actually correct. When the sperm and the egg come together, that's when the fetus comes together and the DNA is set for male or female. That's the only thing he got right. But then he says, oh, God. First he says that, which he got right. Then he says, well, God told it to become that way. No. If the DNA is already pre-programmed to, once these two things come together and then they're already set in motion, what's the fucking need for God? Really? There's no need. He's adding an element that doesn't even fucking belong there. Then he claims that, God's not going to play jokes on people. Well, apparently he's never read his Bible, apparently, because I'm just going to list a couple scriptures here. There's several other ones. I'm not going to go into all of them, but there was 1 Kings 22:23 and 2 Chronicles 18:22. And like I said, there's plus several others. You can look those up. I'm not going to bother. And he says that they're trapped in another body. He says they think they're trapped in another body. Who the fuck is he to tell them what they're thinking? If I'm feeling sad, or if I feel like I'm in another body, then that's what I feel. I feel like, I'm not feeling complete for some reason. Then he said, their thinking needs to be corrected. Can you say thought police? Another one, he goes on to Satan. Okay, first of all, there is no fucking such thing as Satan. He can't prove that there is. If I'm going to assign the same skepticism to say that I don't believe in a God, I don't believe in a devil either. There's no proof for either of those beings. So, and then he calls him the Satan, the father of lies. Well, didn't God create Satan? So wouldn't God be the father of the liar that made the lie? So he's actually the liar. He's actually the father of lies, not Satan. And then he says Satan's going to come in and whisper in someone else's ear and then tell it to somebody else. You can't convince somebody else to become gay or straight or transgendered. It doesn't work that way. And then he says, resist it in the name of Jesus. Why not do the resist it in the name of the flying spaghetti monster? It holds the same amount of weight. And he goes on about some random story where the devil was in some people or whatever. I couldn't recognize it because he kind of mumbled it. And he's good for mumbling, especially when he doesn't have a real good point. And then he goes, if you reject the maleness, these female thoughts in your head, then you can keep... God will help you keep it out in time. You know, I was like, I thought God is supposed to can work immediately if he wants to. In time? That's a pretty piss poor God if he has to take a whole lot of time to do it. And if he thinks that, you know, if I just keep saying, I'm a guy to these people who are, you know, obviously having issues with themselves, you know, in one way or another, or say, oh, I'm a girl. You know, why don't the opposite sex say that too? You know, it's like, if I sat here and said, I'm a girl, does it make it happen? No, it doesn't fucking make it happen. Again, he's trying to be thought police and everything like that. Brian Fisher, he just pisses me off to no end. Crystal, your thoughts?
You know, this guy, to say that he's using science and they're using science against the rest of the world about this, he really needs to go back to, like, anatomy 101.
Yeah, no shit.
He really is showing his ignorance because there is lots of other variations on humans and animals too, chromosomes, gonads, genitalia, that do not allow a person to be directly identified as male or female. I mean, you have XO versions. It's not just the way he wants to put it. I think he really needed to read up a little bit because I think you could ask pretty much any high school student in the country could tell you that there are differences. It is not solely clear-cut female or male in this world with humans or animals.
Right.
There's babies that are born with genital ambiguity. You can't really tell the clitoris is enlarged or, you know, the penis is too small. It looks more like a clitoris.
Right.
You know, up until 7 weeks, we're all the same.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We all start out female.
Exactly. And then this starts to split off. And there's lots of variations in nature. And for him to say science and he's right in the same sentence is really laughable. I really did laugh after I heard this video tonight. The stupidity. That's just being ignorant, willfully ignorant. And, God, I don't know.
I think I would go one step further. I mean, it's a dangerous ignorance. Because he's spewing this crap where people can actually listen to him. And people give him a pulpit to fucking talk on. And he spews this crap out and people go, and what else would I say, George? You know, not to pick on people from the South, but this is his base is down that in area. It's the
right.
Bible Belt. I'm sorry, Crystal. I know you live in that area. I apologize for that. But it's true.
It's okay. I've got a card.
Yeah, it's right.
You know, I think somewhere the danger this comes into is the audience that does listen to this, and God forbid their children be born with this situation and having to make a decision other what to assign sexes to, and you know you're going by this. You know now they. They are even kind of discouraging any kind of surgery to correct the genitalia.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it can cause impotence. It can cause loss of sensation down there. It could cause all kinds of problems. And they're kind of leaning more towards leave it alone.
Right.
And let the kids decide what their gender is going to be as they grow older.
Right.
And if they decide to have the surgery then. But, you know, if you listen to fools like him... The parents would go ahead and do that, and that's what worries me. I agree with you.
Yeah. Now, the thing is, he's talking about what he's been talking – what he's kind of alluding at is this bill that happened over in California where they're allowing kids who feel like, hey, I'm a girl trapped in a boy's body. I'm a boy trapped in a girl's body, and they want to use the opposite gender's toilets. They think in their convoluted mind that – if a boy uses a girl's restroom, being that he's genetically mostly male, but he doesn't feel like that's his gender. If he goes in there, he's going to rape the girls. Or if a girl walks in there, she's going to start, you know, she's going to get gang raped by the guys, you know, or whatever. This is for children's schoolings in the schools. You know, you just can't go, okay, well, today I'm going to pretend to be a girl and say, oh, I feel I have girl feelings today, and so I can walk into the girls' bathroom and, you know, get an eyeful. I'm sure that there's going to be something in place where, you know, they have to go and tell their parents, hey, you know, I feel like I'm a girl in a guy's body and things like that. And they'll have to have special notes and permissions and maybe, I don't know, public. I don't know if they'll come out publicly and tell all these kids, but eventually they're going to find out, you know, or a lot of kids nowadays, they already know what's going on in their own cliques or circles or whatever. So once it comes out, they're going to say, hey, sometimes they explain this in class. Say, this is Johnny, and he feels like he's a more in a girl's body or a boy's body or whatever. You know, he's a boy in a girl's body, and so he's going to be there. And some people have flipped out, and these Republicans, a couple of them said, well, I'm pulling my kids out of school. And great. If you pull your little booger eaters out of school, and then that leaves more room for rational children. I feel sorry for those children, but damn. Did you have anything last thoughts on that, Crystal? I'm sorry.
No, I mean, no, not really. It's just a matter of this is, you know, it's so simple to be so complicated. And I think we just need to keep talking acceptance.
Yes.
And that goes for religion. That goes for anybody that's different. Why do we care what gender they decide themselves to be?
Right, exactly. Exactly.
I just think we just need to keep pushing acceptance, acceptance, acceptance.
Right.
That's the end of that.
Right, exactly. Dave, your thoughts?
You know, he talks about science in this, and it's just, it's absolutely absurd and laughable. First off, gay conversion therapy, scientifically, we can say it doesn't work. People who have been at the top of gay conversion therapy have gone back to being homosexuals and then said that it doesn't work. And that's really at the crux of the point, is that people who are gay or transgender are born that way. And it's not a choice. Your sexuality isn't a choice. I mean, he should try to be gay for a while and see if that's a choice. The other thing about science is that a lot of these people are people who deny evolution. They talk about reproduction. A male and a male aren't able to reproduce.
Right.
They don't understand that evolution and the continuation of our species is something that has to do with large groups over vast amounts of time. So if say 10%, I think that's roughly the amount of people that they say are homosexuals. I don't know if it's more than that who just haven't come out or what the situation is, but if we go by 10%, 10% of a large group of people is not going to affect the continuation of the species whatsoever.
Right.
It'll have no effect whatsoever. So, you know, I have very little to say. You guys covered this very thoroughly. I just think it's a shame that we have essentially these systems of thought that make people become so hateful and bigoted against someone else's human nature and their right to be happy and pursue their own sexual pleasure and pursue a fulfilling life for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. No, it's, I agree. You know, I just wish people like Fisher didn't spew this bigoted bullshit. You know, well, it just bothers me. I mean, I give him all the right. He can say whatever he fucking wants. It's a free country. But he is flat out fucking wrong.
He's a perceived authority figure, and there are a lot of people who listen to him and actually give him credit, and it's a shame.
Yeah, no, this has been an interesting conversation. It just again, Brian Fisher, he's a big pain in the ass, and I won't shed a tear when that asshole dies. Anyway, let's move on to our next topic for this evening. Our funny tweet tonight comes from Exploding Unicorns. My friend staged an intervention to stop my raging narcissism. They all gathered in a room and talked about me. I loved it.
I love that tweet.
I suppose if I was a narcissist, everybody started came and talked about me to did an intervention, and everybody's going to talk about me. It's like I'd be going, oh. I'd be rubbing my nipples and go, oh yeah, more, more.
Oh. We need to send you to the sex convention.
Dave, did you have anything you wanted to say on this?
Mm-mm. Huh?
Did you have anything? Did you have anything you wanted to add into this?
No, it's funny.
Okay.
It is funny.
I found this tweet.
Yeah, that's right. You did. Anyway, all right. Let's get on to our next topic for this evening.
Hey, you guys!
Our shout out tonight comes from Dave. And Dave's shout out is for BUFFSBLG. It's for Buff's Blog. Dave, can you tell us a little bit about Buff's Blog?
This is Brad, and he and I have been following each other for a while. He only has 217 followers, and I think he's under followed. His profile here says lawyer, loudmouth, CU fan, and not as smart as I used to believe.
Yeah, I saw that on there. He's got a buffalo on his avatar, which is kind of cool.
That's true. I think that probably has something to do with the Buffs portion of his name.
Yes.
He's a smart guy, and he jumps into debates all the time and always has some sort of valid point to bring up, and I think that people should be following him.
Absolutely. And he's got 217 followers. Let's see how many more followers we can get him. Speaking of debater, we kind of missed the story we were going to cover. We're going to talk about, we'll just kind of go back to it real quick here. There's a debate that's coming up between Bill Nye, Bill Nye the science guy, and Ken Ham. Ken Ham the liar man.
Ken Ham is Dawkins' dog's favorite man.
Yes. Ken Ham the bullshit man. And they're going to have a debate. And this debate is going to take place at the Creation Museum. They were charging $25 a head to get in. And all the proceeds are going to go to the Creation Museum. And some of the people, what they were going to be doing, or what they were going to plan on doing, they were going to also live stream this. And if you wanted to see it, it was going to cost $5. But then something happened just recently where they said, okay, we're not going to charge anybody to view it, so anybody who paid $5 to view it should be getting a refund on it if they haven't already. So when it actually happens, it'll be interesting. I have some mixed thoughts on Ken and Bill Nye going at it head to head, especially with Bill, because Bill, I've seen him debate some people, but this was in a situation where it was more of a even playing field. But he's going to be out there at the Creation Museum, and Ken is, like I said, he's a fucking used car salesman. Not probably not really, but as it were. But I mean, he's a snake oil salesman, and he's good for one thing: lying and deceit, which are actually two things. But he does not debate honestly. There are a lot of videos out there where atheists go up against somebody who they agrees to talk about this one thing, and they agree to a certain topic. And then when the debate comes, they switch it around. They say, oh, well, I decided I'm going to talk about this, something I know you didn't prepare for because I did, and I'm the one that's going to steer the conversation this way. It's very dishonest. And a lot of them will take the video or the after stuff, and they will edit it so it makes it look like they put them in a bad position, made them look like they were winning the argument. Like I said, I have some mixed feelings about this because Bill is not a biologist. He's a mechanical engineer, and he's never dealt with someone slimy as Ken Ham before. A lot of people in the atheist community think that if he debates Ken Ham, it will bring legitimacy to the creation myth. And that's not what anybody wants, because we want to keep these people like, yeah, you know what? You people are ridiculous. This argument is fucking nonsense. there is a mountain of evidence for evolution. So your debate is a non-issue. Of course, then there's the other hand of it, that if we don't debate this guy, then we're also saying, yeah, well, our argument isn't as sound, so we don't want to deal with you. Crystal, your thoughts?
You know, I don't really keep up with this stuff, you know, that much. I think that he's definitely a slick liar.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to look better on his resume than on Bill Nye's. Bill is educated. He's a smart man, and he will bring the facts. He should stick to the education. He doesn't know what he's coming up against with this butt wipe. And, you know, if it comes out to his favor, they'll play it down on the video. And if it comes out bad, they're going to play it up on the video. So he's not going to win. It's like going to go play the home team on their own turf.
Right.
You know, you're just wrong place, wrong time, and wrong person. Bill's a nice guy. He's a little almost shy when it comes to like talking, a little bit reserved. And
I've seen him get fiery a few times, but I think it was in a room where he was more comfortable. Biology,
right.
It's not his strongest suit, so I don't know what he's going to do.
Mm-mm, no, and he can get a little awkward with that. I think this is going to be interesting. I'm like you. I'm kind of mixed about it because I think it's going to be a fun thing to watch. It's going mm-hmm. to be fun to see what goes down and what happens. The sad part about it is one way or the other, they're going to turn it around to his favor. They're going to make money off of it. They're going
yep.
to try to build his stern arc that he's been trying to build forever.
All right.
And that makes me sick.
Yeah. You know, I kind of said this jokingly. Let the Can-Ham Creation Museum fail. And this infusion of money, all it is, it's a last-minute grab. And
right.
I think that, you know, if anything, we should get a hold of Freedom From Religion Foundation and, you know, as many atheists out there as we can, and buy the Creation Museum from him. 10 cents on the dollar, of course, maybe 5 cents on the dollar, whatever. And then go inside there and say, okay, you want to teach the argument? Let's fucking teach the argument. They're going to say, we'll leave up your shit, but then we're going to say, well, here's what they say. Here's the facts. Here's what they think. Here's the facts. You know, go through it one piece at a time. Recreate the Creation Museum to show the fact, make it the fact museum. You know, show the lies of creationism. Dave, your thoughts?
I'm torn about this. It's no secret that I really wanted to go to this debate. Joe and I had attempted to get tickets to it, and it was sold out in mere minutes.
Yes.
There's speculation that may be because there were tickets reserved for
yes.
people at the Creation Museum.
Yeah, it wasn't. It didn't go through regular Ticketmaster. It just went through them.
It just went through them, exactly. And there, mm-hmm. it was only available through them. Yeah, I'm conflicted on a number of levels. One is that all of the proceeds from this are going to go to the Creation Museum.
Right.
Now, Bill Nye has a few points as to why he wants to do the debate. One of them is that the Creation Museum is funded in part by taxpayer dollars in
right.
the area. And he wants to make it known that, basically make it known to the voters in the area what's going on there and what their beliefs are and all of that. The problem is that nearly 50% of the American population believes in creationism.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of support for Ken Ham's side. Not necessarily 50% believe in, young Earth creationism.
Right.
But certainly deny evolution.
Oh, yeah. And that's getting bad. It's actually going from, it was the people who deny evolution in this country is actually getting bigger. That is sad.
It is very sad. Yeah, Bill Nye is not a biologist. He is an engineer. Being an engineer, he's taken a lot of physics. He's very knowledgeable on science. He's a science advocate. I watched his show as a kid, and I think it was great.
I actually had a thing against Bill when I was a kid because he took off my other science show that I liked, Beekman and Jax.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Well, you know, I think that he is going to bring young Earth creationism to a wider range of people to make people aware of it. Mm-hmm. Which I think is a good thing for people who aren't young Earth creationists or people who do accept evolution as truth to see what kind of thoughts exist out there.
All right.
Who might not consider it whatsoever. Obviously, he's also giving Ken Ham a lot of exposure that he shouldn't necessarily have, which is a problem. Richard Dawkins has said over and over again that he refuses to debate Ken Ham.
Right.
Because he's dishonest, and because, I mean, really, accepting a debate implies that there's something to be debated. And really, there, in science and between scientists, there is no debate. Evolution is a fact, and yes. It's not a debatable thing.
Right, exactly.
I mean, there's a lot of good things. Essentially, Bill Nye says his reasons for accepting it is, A, he was challenged, quote-unquote, to a duel.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't want to back down from it, which I do respect in a certain sense.
Right. Beyond I think he should start from a little smaller fish, like, you know, the banana guy.
Yeah. But they're not the people who had challenged him.
I know, but that's what I'm just saying.
Accepting the duel from the person who challenged him.
True, true. True.
His other thing is that he suspects that Ken Ham might be essentially, and I suspect that a lot of people like Ken Ham are probably, he suspects he might be a liar.
No!
And he wants to see whether or not he's actually genuine in his beliefs. I don't think that he's going to accomplish that goal.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think that it's going to come out either way. I hope that Bill Nye studies Ken Ham's arguments and is aware of them.
That's the thing about people like Ken Ham. These are, and I've said it before, they're snake oil salesmen. They never show you their whole hand. You know, they keep a little bit behind them, and that's, you know, they keep it like the fingers crossed type situation. Oh yes, I believe that the Ark is real. Uh-huh. You know, it's just a money grab, and this is all it is. I mean, he's put out junk. He's trying to sell bonds, and they're just junk bonds. They're not worth damn shit.
And the other thing that worries me is that when you watch the interviews of Bill Nye so far, he seems really unsure of himself.
Yeah.
You know, he's stuttering, he's yes. not very eloquently spoken in these interviews, and I wonder how good he's going to be on his feet.
Yeah, that makes me wonder, too. I mean, when he does his, like, TV show, and he was on an episode of Stargate, I mean, he did really well, but of course he had a script. You know, and most anybody that's, well, except for me, because I can't read scripts. I do everything off the seat of my ass. that, you know, if he has a script in his hand, I think he would do well. But Ken is probably going to do, as, and I've said it, and I just said it a little while ago, that he's gonna flip it around, and he's going to come from a different angle completely, and Bill's going to be completely unprepared, and he's going to, well, this is not what we discussed, how well we were going to debate. Well, I decided we're going to change the debate, and nothing you can do about it, because this is what I prepared, and he's going to go, oh, well, all right, I suppose, and, you know, and just be a nice guy, you know. He doesn't want to disappoint all those people out there, for one, and two, he's just going to go, okay, I'm just going to suck it up, and I'm just going to do it.
Yeah, and the Creation Museum is nearly broke right now, and don't want to see it get all this funding so that it continues to exist. That really bothers me as well.
Yes.
Although, perhaps Bill Nye will bring back the bow tie.
You know, yeah, I hope
there we go.
There was this one interview where he was talking. He had a very colorful bow tie, and I was like, "Oh, you know, I'm not a bow tie kind of guy." But that one was actually quite dashing. You don't hear me say that very often, but it was actually quite dashing. But yeah. Anyway,
it's an interesting thing, and I think that a lot of atheists are correct in saying that perhaps we shouldn't be giving a stage to these sort of people. At the same time, I think that Bill Nye's reasons for doing the debate are genuine. And I do support him in accepting it because he felt as though he had to.
Right. Yeah, they threw down the gauntlet and he said, okay, I'm picking it up. Let's go. And
I hope he drops the bomb on him.
I hope he does too.
I really do.
I hope he does too. I hope he comes out and either the one thing that's for sure, doesn't matter who wins, both sides are going to say, yeah, both sides won. You know,
I don't think anyone's going to win.
Right.
No one's going to convince. I mean,
Well, he said he's not there. He's not going to try. He's not there to convince him. You know, he's not there to convince Ken Ham. He's right. there to convince one person, just one person. If one person that's out in that audience questions Ken Ham's reasoning, you know, or lack of thereof, I should say, and goes, you know what? I think evolution is actually what's the true thing here. Then it's a victory, even if it's just one person.
Yeah, certainly. Yes. I think that's the goal of any real debate.
Absolutely. All right. Well, you know what? I think we are way over time now. So we're going to get out of here. I want to thank everybody for coming. Thank you for indulging us on our little error situation we had to deal with here. Hey, that's what you come to the show for. You know, don't come to hear me talk. You come to watch me crash.
So that you can drink.
So you can all drink. That's right. I think half the chat room's passed out now. No one's talking anymore. We're going to kill somebody with liver. Someone's going to sue us for liver issues sometime. Like, I went to Packard Pokes at and I was drinking because every time they had an issue, I had to drink, and now I have no liver. So
just tell them, don't worry about it. We'll 3D print you a new one.
That's right. We'll 3D print you a new one. All right. Well, we'll be back next week with a short show. And again, give us a call, 662-709-PPAP or 662-709-7727, and we'll play it here on the air. And we can go to Facebook.com and like the page, please. All right, that's it. This has been Packer Pokes At. We just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.